then shall you return. Please turn to Brother Alan. Malachi chapter 3, that is just close to the end of the Old Testament. Starting at 16, all the way to 18. 3. Malachi 3. 16, all the way to 18.
They that feared the Lord spake often one to another, and the Lord hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that feared the Lord and that thought upon his name.
Stop a moment. How many of us fear the Lord here tonight? I'm sure we all do.
Amen.
But they thought on his name. Notice that. That's why this book has many names for the Lord. And as we think on his name, I think of a scripture. Thy name is as ointment poured forth. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth under it and are safe. Oh, beloved, we need to think on his many names. And call upon his name. And we know when we call on that name what that name stands for. Okay, and it says, they thought on his name. Verse 17.
And they shall be mine, saith the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels. And I will spare them, as a man spareth his own son that serveth him.
Mm-hmm.
Then shall ye return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, between him that serveth God and him that serveth him not.
Notice, then shall you what? That means they're not caught up to fly and have a nice time. They got work to do. Then shall you return, and they will have the discernment to see who are real and who not real. Now we can't tell. We can only have an inclination. But imagine when you come into that realm, you have supernatural vision and wisdom and knowledge how to handle anyone and any problem.
Amen.
Oh, brother, how we need that kind of ministry.
Oh,
how did Peter know Ananias and Sapphira were lying? Well, we need to see that coming back to the church where holiness is stressed and no mixture. We got to follow after peace and holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord. All right. I don't want to continue there, but that's a wonderful passage of scripture. I know there is much more God will open to us from that. But there's a time when he will receive his jewels. And even the saints under the altar are getting impatient. What are they praying and crying for? How long, O Lord? Righteous and true, wilt thou not avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? Anyhow, there's a fullness of time. So as Alpha and Omega, beginning and end, he is the author of time. He's the author of the ages. And he know how long an age should last. And when he returns, he ends this age with his visible, open appearing.
Amen.
And when the next age begins, it must run its course, and then there will be a harvest for that age. So there'll be successive reapings in ages to come. Praise God. Well, you can work on that one because there is so much there, and I'm just leaving it with you to explore. But let's come back to Revelation 1:7. Alpha Centauri. How many of you know what is Alpha Centauri? Raise your hands. It's the brightest star in a constellation of stars. Who is the brightest star among all the stars? So Alpha Centauri, C-E-N-T-A-U-R-I. So, C-E-N-T-A-U-R-I. Now from Omega, we get the word Mega. And now, what is the first letter in Alpha? What's the first letter in Omega? O. And those are what we call vowels, right? We used to learn that at school, A-E-I-O-U. A-E-I-O-U. It's a broad, it's not a constricted, but it's a broad expression. And how can you have utterance, or how can you give a message without the letters that form the words? So Jesus is the source of speech. In the beginning was the what?
Word.
And the word was? And the word? Then some of us have learned that the word word is logos, L-O-G-O-S. And from this word we get logi, like analogy. If you go through the whole dictionary from A to Z, angelology, archaeology, all to zoology, and you'll never finish if you go through all those words ending with L-O-G-Y. But what is that? Archaeology, a word about things of the past. Theology, a word about God. So it's amazing, where did all these ologies come from? The one who is the Logos, the Word. And we just read that and pass on. But I'm telling you, whether you have a little word or a long word, it all comes from the Word. Amen? Hallelujah. And the more you get to know him, you're going to say two things. Ah, Lord God. Oh, the depths of the riches, most of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. And the word mega means millions. So the more the Lord reveals himself to you, the more he becomes real to you. Oh, you give him millions of ahs and ohs. Amen? You can't contain yourself. People say you've lost your mind. But praise God, that's a holy intoxication. And it doesn't make you swerve off the road. It makes you sharp. You get to see things and do things in a greater way because the Lord sharpens your senses. And from mega, we get megaton. Mega volt, megawatt. Where did these words come from? He's the Omega. He's in everything, beloved. We can't see that. That's beyond us. But anytime you get a little glimpse, megaton, millions of TNT, megawatt, megavolt, millions of electricity. It's an amazing world when you see the word mega. This word is translated loud. When he came to the tomb of Lazarus, how did he raise Lazarus from the dead, Brother Alan? What did he say? He cried? I wish I was there to hear that voice. One brother said if he didn't call him by name, the whole graveyard would have been empty. And when he said, Brother Alan, it is finished, was that a whisper? He cried with a... That voice caused the rending of the veil, the supernatural earthquake, the opening of the tombs. I'm showing how powerful that voice was. And heaven heard it, and earth heard it, and it went all the way to Hades. Brother, how carelessly we read, like myself. and don't see the immensity of what took place there when he said, it is finished. Go back again and study that. All right? Hallelujah. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. What else? The first. He doesn't say the first and the last there. He says, and the endings, saith the Lord. The word Lord means owner. The Lord's table. And there are many expressions in the Bible about the Lord's. That means he owns everything. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, and the cattle on the thousand hills are his. So he's the owner of everything. That's why we say, all I am and all I have are not mine. They're yours.
Amen. Thank you.
Many people know him as Savior. How many know him as Lord? It took us a while before we came there.
That's right.
That means he has all of you,
Amen.
Not just a tithe.
That's right. Thank you, Lord.
Tithe is good, but when you get to know the Lord, you don't stop at the tithe.
That's right.
All you realize is you go beyond that and you give as God enables you.
Amen.
All can't give the same amount, but if you give out of a heart of love, God values that. What did the poor widow give in the treasury? Well, who values that? And there are many rich people giving. But the Lord only saw one person. And she didn't give half of the two mites. What she gave? All that she had. And he said, they gave of their necessity, right? But she gave of her penury. That is, all the living that she had, she put in that treasury. And Jesus noticed it. Don't you think he made a way for her?
Yes.
God doesn't forsake the widow and the fatherless.
Amen. That's right.
And if we can help them, God will bless us for it.
Yes.
So, again, it's not the quantity. It's the spirit with which we give. And you know much about that. So we want to go back to Lord. We sing, he is Lord, he is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and he is Lord. At the name of Jesus, God has highly exalted that name. Every knee shall bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Where? Of things in? Where else? And things? That's another powerful scripture. So, Lord is a wonderful description. The Pharisees brought a woman caught in the act of adultery, and they pretended that they had love for the law. If they did, where was the man who committed the adultery with the woman? And what did the law say? Both the adulterer and the adulteress shall be stoned. So where was the adulterer? So how much love for law did they have? So you see how they took the law and left out what they want. And put in what they wanted.
Yes.
That's why the word of God in Revelation says, don't add to it and don't take away from it.
Amen.
Right?
That's right?
So the reason Jesus did not answer them, because he could have given them an answer. But he bowed his head and began to write. That's a whole message. We'll have to go into that another time. And when the Lord said, he that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone. Oh, they weren't expecting that. They were thinking, now we're going to capture him. And they all, instead of coming and confessing, yes, Lord, you said truly, I agree, I am not without sin. Not one of them. Not one of them made that confession. And guess what? They eased away. One by one, bringing in from the eldest. Then he looked up and he saw the woman. He said, woman, where are those thine accusers? Has no man condemned thee?
No man.
No man what?
Lord.
Pharisees only call him master. the only Pharisee that ever called Jesus Lord was Saul of Tarsus. When the Lord called him, he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And later on he wrote, "No man can call him Lord except by the Spirit." It took me a long time to discover that, because you read these things and you don't see. That's our problem. We don't see, so we need eyesight for our eyes, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Every day we got to say, "Open mine eyes, Lord, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law." So, this woman called Jesus Lord. She had a revelation that this was a different man than all those others. The Lord didn't tolerate her sin. But now that she acknowledged him, he said, "Go, woman, your sins are forgiven. Go and sin," what? Many think that means now that you're forgiven, you can continue to sin. No. All right. Boy, before you get started, it's time to end. Lord, who is, was, and is to come. In one word, that statement is Jehovah or Yahweh. And it really means the self-existing God. In other words, he's sufficient in himself. Before time, he was and he still is and will be. That's why the three tenses show us his greatness. And that word applies to the Father as well as to the Son. So the Jehovah of the Old Testament is the Jesus of the New Testament. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Jesus Christ the same when? What tense is that? Today, what tense? Forevermore. Oh, beloved. How great is our God. How great is his name.
Amen.
And what's the last word here?
Almighty.
That's the same word, El Shaddai. El Shaddai, the God who nourishes as a mother the infant, the many-breasted God. He said it to Abraham. "I am the Almighty God. Walk thou before me and be thou perfect." Well, this word Almighty is in the book of Revelation about 9 times. "For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth." Literally, the Lord God Almighty. Almighty means all power, all might. My. Not just mighty. Almighty. I know sometimes we sing the mighty God of Israel and all of that is good. But it's good when we say the Almighty. "Come thou Almighty King, help us thy name to sing." It's a powerful word. It's only used one time in the New Testament before we come to Revelation. Brother Allen, 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Second Corinthians chapter 6 and the last verse. Start at verse 17.
"Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty."
The Lord what?
Almighty.
"All power is given unto me," where? In heaven and in earth. So what is he saying? I'm the Almighty. In the Old Testament, it's translated as the Lord of hosts. Hosts linked with armies. But it's the same word. Because who can fight against God? So it's called Lord of hosts. El Shaddai. The Almighty. The Lord God omnipotent. So we need to think that when we pray, yes, Lord, you are almighty. You have all power in heaven and earth. And begin to manifest that power in me and through me and through your people, Lord. Oh, Lord. He has all power. That's why before he gave the Great Commission, he says, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore. So when we go, we're counting on the Lord to back us up with his strength, that whatever we have to give, we give it because we become the ambassadors of the King. We're speaking with the authority of the King. But we don't realize that. The more we realize it, then we take it more seriously. To be an ambassador for the King is a great honor that the angels do not have. The angels can bring messages and help us, but they can't preach the gospel. How about that one? So how is it that an angel was flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto all them that dwell on the face of the earth? You see, that's not an angel as we know him. That's a messenger, a redeemed saint of God, who will have the power to come to a football field when the game is packed. That is, the people in the stands, they have jam-packed. You notice what happens with the traffic when it's a big football game. And because many have lost any interest in God, when the Lord sends one of these glorified saints, they'll come to the football field and they don't need anybody to hold them up in the air. And when they speak, everybody's going to hear. And the whole crowd is going to be spellbound. They never saw it like that. We haven't heard preaching yet. And they have the power to back it up. Another version says an eagle was flying in the midst of heaven. They shall mount up with wings as, and again, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered. Not where the carcass is, there will the vultures be gathered. That's another scripture. One shall be taken and the other left. Where, Lord? And he said, where the body is, there will the eagles be gathered together. I never knew what that meant. I just used to read it and pass over. What it is saying is, where I am in my crucified, risen, and glorified body, there will my eagle saints meet me. That where I am, there you may be also. The eagles are those who will fly as eagles.
Amen.
On eagles' wings.
Thank you, Lord.
And will have the power to come back. Oh, beloved, greater days are ahead for us.
Amen.
I am just excited in my spirit for God to do what he has reserved for these last days. Who are we that he should use us? It's just amazing grace. Amen?
Amen?
And to think that one day we will do much more than we're doing here.
Yes.
We're in preparation for God's visitation.
Yes.
And the time is gone, so we'll have to wrap it up. But let's come back there, please. Revelation 1. Seven descriptions of the Lord. And he's the beginning and the ending. He begins and he completes. He is self-sufficient. He owns everything. He has all power. He is the source of language. He's the A and the O, or the from A to Z. He's so great that we can only bow in worship before him. So, how about one more verse? Think you can take it tonight? I, John. I used to read that and didn't see anything much. I, John. He is coming into the personal. I, John. When Paul wrote, I, Paul. When Daniel wrote, I, Daniel. That is their signature as to what God has revealed to them. When you come to I, it's a personal note. I, John. I, Paul. I, Daniel. You ready for this one? Nowhere else in the Bible, except Revelation, and I didn't know this for many, many years, you hear, I, Jesus. It's not in the Gospels. I think that is so sweet. That's the personal touch of the Lord. When he says, I, Jesus, he's coming close to us. I, Jesus, one time only in the Bible. Turn to Revelation 22. Yes. Go ahead, Brother Alan. 22:16.
I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David and the bright morning star.
That's the last I am in the Bible. What is the last I am in the Bible, Brother Alan?
I am the root.
And what else?
Offspring of David.
Well, how can someone be the root and the fruit at the same time? See, I used to read that, didn't pay any attention to it. Now I'm asking you to ask the Lord to help us. Because in the natural, the root must come first before you get the what?
Fruit.
You don't see the root, it's hidden, but you see the fruit, right? So how could Jesus be the root and the fruit at the same time? And which man is he linked with?
David.
You know another thing that is so startling? The first man from the Old Testament that is mentioned in the New Testament is David. How about that? In order of time, Abraham preceded David, but Matthew begins, he's first son of David and son of Abraham. Because Matthew is presenting Jesus as the king.
Amen. Thank you.
He didn't make a mistake, brother. We think so. You see, it takes time to understand that. Well, coming back to the thought about the I am. So I used to wonder, how could he be root and fruit? Well, when you see, you take the Gospels and you see each one giving you a portrait of the Lord, then you could see that the one who came from David's line, which speaks of his humanity, was David's Lord. Jesus is the Lord, and he brought David into existence. But when he came to earth, he came through David's line.
Amen.
So as God, he is the root, and as man, he's the fruit.
Amen. Thank you.
You get it now?
Yeah.
He's Son of God, and he's Son of Man in one. You ready to shout and dance around a little? I guess if we had some African brothers and sisters, they might be moving around the places. Yes, but that's all right. We can appreciate whatever we do is unto the Lord. And now, that's a tremendous passage. I'll have to speak on that another time. Will you forgive me? That one verse is so loaded, but that's the last I am statement in the Bible. And notice how it begins. Brother Alan, how it begins?
I, Jesus.
Nowhere else you will find that. I, Jesus. I, John. I, Paul. I, Daniel. I, Lester. I, Alan. Oh, I love that personal touch of the Lord. Let's end it up. I, John, who am your brother and companion in what? I thought we escape tribulation if we're close to the Lord. What does he call himself here? Your brother. And who are the brothers of the Lord? Those who hear the word of God and do it. It's easy to say, well, I'm a brother of the Lord. Positionally, yes, but in experience, we have to hear and do his word. He calls himself a brother. He relates to the family of God and companion in tribulation. If there's anything we will not escape, is that the church has never escaped tribulation. But there's coming a time called the Great Tribulation. But if we pass our test in the tribulation, he can exempt us from the great one.
Amen.
So while we're here, in the world you shall have what? Tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Right? So John is linking himself with all of us. Isn't that wonderful? The man who loves God can't help but love his people.
Glory to God.
Thank you, Lord.
And he's saying to us, we have one thing in common. We know what tribulation is all about. What tribulation means? Pressure. Hardship. And we are getting more in that realm as we see the conditions in our land. But Paul writes a beautiful verse. Through much tribulation, we shall enter into the kingdom of God. How much?
Much.
So all who want to escape it will find that God doesn't always let you escape. He lets you go through. Tribulation worketh what? And patience. And experience. Hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. And what is the kingdom? The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but what? So when John says he's in the kingdom, he's moving in the realm of righteousness, peace, and joy, though he's a prisoner of Rome at the time he's writing. You see, he's in a different realm while he is on this earth. He's moving in the kingdom realm.
Amen.
The kingdom is not only future, the kingdom is present.
Amen.
He's moving in the realm of righteousness, right relationship with God, peace, the result of that relationship, joy, the exuberance of that relationship, and in the patience or endurance of Jesus Christ. Oh, beloved, we can't always endure something. Sometimes we say, how long more, Lord? Sometimes we grow faint and weary. But this man is saying, look how much patience I have. Whose patience did he get hold of? The patience of Jesus Christ, which is greater than the patience of Job. Though Job was a wonderful example of patience. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let me show you how this word is used before we close. How about 5 minutes more? How about that? Not midnight yet. When Mary and Joseph went back home from the Passover feast, Jesus was not in their company, and they assumed that he wasn't. They had to go back to Jerusalem, and they found him in the temple. But it says that child Jesus tarried behind. I know you're aware of that, instead of reading it. He tarried behind them. That one word that he remained behind is the root word for patience or endurance. Tarried behind. The word means to remain under. Remain under. Let's say you're carrying a heavy burden. You want to get rid of it, but the Lord says, remain under it until I free you. He tarried behind. He knew he had to be there because the Father's will was that he should be there. But Mary and Joseph didn't know that. So when they found him, the mother said, how is it that you have thus dealt with us, son? Behold, thy father and I have sought thee sorrowing. What did he say? How is it that you sought me? Wist you not that I must be about my father's business? Amen. So the father didn't want him to go on and wanted him to stay to be a witness to those doctors of the law. And Jesus was patient all the way. He endured the cross. Oh, Simon of Cyrene helped him. Do you know why Simon of Cyrene helped him? Because he was collapsing under the weight, and the Romans got hold of Simon, who was a believer in the law. He came at the Passover because the males had to come there every feast season, spring, summer, and the fall. And maybe he didn't like it. So I used to read that and I wondered about it. Who was carrying whom and who was carrying what? So most of us have the idea Simon came and took the cross away from Jesus and relieved Jesus of the cross. Not so, my friends. Now we got to read between the lines. That is, we need the Holy Spirit to show us. You got to take all the accounts of it. It is true he helped Jesus with the cross, but he was carrying the tail end of the cross, and Jesus was carrying the heavier part as he was going along the road. Didn't he say, my yoke is easy or not? So Simon knew that he couldn't go in front of the Lord. He got to stay behind. So even the cross, Jesus is still in front. He's the Ark of the Covenant that goes before. Amen?
Amen. Thank you.
All that Simon did was to assist. And do you think he did that in vain? Paul later met Simon's wife. And Simon had two sons, Rufus and Alexander. And salute Rufus and his mother and mine. You know, many things are missing from the Bible as far as we wish we had more details. So when Simon went home, he told him his experience, and they became believers in the Lord.
Amen.
And by the time Paul wrote, Simon had passed away, but his two sons were there and his wife. And apparently she was so hospitable to the apostle, he says to Rufus, greet your mother and mine. She was a spiritual mother to him. So there are many people in the Bible, they're unsung heroes and heroines. Like, look at the book of Hebrews 11. We know some of those names. And time will fail to tell me of others. And he doesn't give us their names. So you might not be in the who's who, but the Lord knoweth them that are his.
Amen.
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 Praise God. And so, Jesus endured. Consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners, lest you become weary and faint in your minds. Look to Jesus and see how he dealt with these irritating things we all face. And look to him to renew us and restore us and revive us when we get weary. In the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ was in the isle called what? Now it's a barren island, rocky island. Prisoners were sent there. Hard labor. John doesn't have fellowship with anybody now. He was an elder in the churches. Now he's there, cut off from everything, but not cut off from God.
In the spirit.
He was shut in with God on the island. Maybe you find yourself in an island at times. You don't know if you're doing anything for the Lord or not. And people are criticizing you because you want to go further. And we face it right where we live. And I remember the days I used to come and how many churches were opened. After I spent a little time in one or in the other, that was the end of it. Because people were not open for the truth. But I rest assured in one passage of Scripture. I am he that openeth, and no man shutteth. And I am he that shutteth, and no man openeth. And we can pull all the wires you want and get all the lines, but if the Lord doesn't open it, don't try to go through it. I had to learn that. Because, you know, sometimes you get a little bother, raise the next assignment, and where's the need now to pay your bills? But oh, we're not the only ones to live by faith. Others live that life as an example to us. And we're learning. In the isle called Patmos, sometimes you're cut off from everything, but don't be cut off from God. Amen?
Amen.
And he had fellowship with the Lord. And he says, why was he there? For the word of God. And the testimony of Jesus Christ is a spirit of prophecy. The prophetic spirit was going to come on him. He's going to write much for the edification of the church. Maybe he was there because he took his stand for the word of God. And the Romans didn't like it. They say, you are a threat. We're going to get rid of you. We'll close with this. I was in the spirit, literally in. But we don't say in. We, in a sentence, we say on. But literal word is in. I was in the spirit in the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet. Notice how many ins he went through. What's the first in? In tribulation. What is the next one? In the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ. What's the third in? In the isle called Patmos. What's the fourth one? In the spirit. What's the fifth one? In. Literally, it's in the Lord's day. My, that's a progression. What is the Lord's day? We call Sunday the Lord's day, and there's nothing wrong in that. But the Lord's day in the Bible is the day of the Lord.
Amen.
Speaking of the time of the end. So what happened was, John left the time zone in which he was living and was projected in the spirit to see how this age would end. If God can take us back in time, how many believe he can take us forward into time? Is he not the God who was, is, and is to come? Well, because this is so exciting, I have to come back and continue. And where did he hear the voice? He heard a voice, a great voice as of a trumpet, not in front of him. So he was seeing the blowing of the trumpets and the last trumpet. He was seeing the culmination of this age right in the very first chapter. Then he gives you more details as to how it all fits in. This is a marvelous chapter. I must tell you, I hadn't been dealt with by the Lord to go into this chapter, but being in it since so many years, God helps us to see a little more every time we go back into it. And I know there is more there than I can give you. How many want to hear the voice of the Lord?
Amen.
Cry aloud, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. When you hear the trumpet sound, it's God saying, I'm giving you a word, I want you to pay attention to it. It's the prophetic word as well as the personal word, as the word that will illumine us and help us. So we need to have an ear to hear. First he saw and then he heard. May God do that for us tonight. Amen.
Amen.